Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In Galatians chapter 4, we're looking at some of the characteristics of true teachers, true pastors and under-shepherds, as described by the Apostle Paul in verses 18 through 20, after he has given a couple of the tactics of false teachers in verse 17. Now, thus far, we've studied four of the characteristics of true under-shepherds. Number one, their aggressive involvement in the work of the Lord. Number two, a team mentality. Number three, biblical love. And number four, sacrificial labors. And we're going to come back to that one and then move on in just a moment. But let me remind you of our need for financial help from our radio listeners and an offer to send you a copy of Tom Wells' book, Come Home Forever, published by Evangelical Press, 79 pages, excellent, excellent treatment, a simple, clear presentation of the gospel, most winsome. It'll be a blessing to every one of God's children, and many of you, I think, will know some unconverted person that you would like to give this to, and the Lord may use it in their lives. We'll be happy to send you a copy in return for your gift of any amount to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Sacrificial labors. Paul describes his labors in Galatia in this way, Galatians 4:19, "My little children, whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you." Sacrificial labors. An analogy here to a woman giving birth, carrying, delivering, and caring for a child. We all know that's exhausting work, painful work, all-consuming work, and that's the kind of work that is necessary in the work of God. And Paul had labored like that in order to establish the Galatian churches and was willing to labor like that again in order to reestablish them in the truth of the gospel. That's the mark of a true under-shepherd. Dedicated Christian ministry is not a 40-hour-a-week job. I say that again. Dedicated Christian ministry is not a 40-hour-a-week job. And those who are true under-shepherds understand that. Those who are hirelings demonstrate their less than dedicated attitude by their leisurely schedules. But now a fifth mark is biblical goals. And again, verse 19, "My little children, whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you." That was Paul's goal for his ministry in the four churches of Galatia. I'm going to labor until what? Now, in our day and time, a lot of things might be filled in that blank. You're going to labor, dear pastor, dear Christian worker, you're going to labor until what? Until the church reaches a certain number. Until your people are happy and comfortable. Until we are able to bring you into a certain association or denomination. Or so many other things that people, until we're able to erect a certain kind of building in the community, or on and on and on it goes, the various goals that some people would have for a church. But Paul says, my goal is to labor until Christ is formed in you. In other words, until all the believers in the Galatian churches were mature, steadfast, solid, steady believers who understood the gospel and were committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not necessarily concerned to make these believers happy or comfortable. He was certainly not interested in making them dependent upon men, himself or others, or human institutions. But he wanted to see them become mature disciples of Christ, sound in the faith, understanding sound doctrine. He wanted to see spiritual fruit coming out of their lives, the fruit of the Spirit. He wanted to see them able to minister to others. He wanted to see them as healthy, productive members of Christ's body. That's what Paul was laboring for until Christ is formed in you. That was his goal, and that is the mark of a true under-shepherd. Now, you can't always tell what a particular minister's goal is at first, but eventually it'll generally come out what it is that he's trying to accomplish, what he's trying to do with this church, what he's trying to do with this group of people. What is it that he considers success? Well, Paul considered success bringing the members of the Galatian churches to Christ-like maturity. That was his goal, and that is the evidence of a true under-shepherd. But there's one more mark, and that is his unselfish candor. Verse 20, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have some doubts about you. I have some doubts about you, said Paul. Well, that's being pretty clear, pretty plain. Somebody would say, wait, Paul, that's the wrong thing to say. Don't raise any doubts. Don't say anything to make them feel uncomfortable. But you see, Paul wasn't interested in flattering them or making them feel good. He was telling the truth. He was being perfectly honest. An unselfish candor. Why do I say unselfish? Because this was not designed to win friends and influence people. It wasn't designed to make him popular. In saying something like that, he knew that he was taking a risk, that if they didn't take it the right way, that the wedge that was already being driven between them and Paul by the Judaizers would be driven even further. But Paul was interested in truth. He wanted them to come back to him, so that they would come back to the gospel, come back to being truly fully formed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to win them to himself to bring them to that goal. But he didn't want them coming to himself simply because he had persuaded them by his personality or by flattery. That's not good enough. If they're not drawn by truth, then it's better that they don't come. That was Paul's perspective. If they're not drawn by truth, it's better that they don't come. How many churches have a philosophy like that today? How many preachers have a philosophy like that today? If they're not drawn by truth, it's better that they don't come. It seems like in our day, churches are bending over backwards to draw people any way possible. Just whatever works. Let's try to give them a style of music that they'll like and draw them in that way. Let's try to have some sports programs, ball teams, recreation programs, draw them in that way. Let's try to make ourselves attractive in the community by getting rid of our denominational labels and by having a happy approach to everything. Let's get them in that way. Let's get people in any way possible, and once they're in, then maybe we can get them to understand truth. We don't have a chance of doing that if we don't get them in first. That doesn't seem to be Paul's attitude at all. Paul's attitude is, if they don't come because of truth, it's better that they not come at all. And so he says, I have doubts about you. Now, when I say that, let me back up a minute. If they're not drawn by truth, it's better that they not come at all. Takes into account that it takes a work of God's Holy Spirit to make people attract to truth. In other words, if people are not brought by the Spirit of God, it's better that they not come at all. That's the point. When we say if people aren't attracted to truth, it's better that they not come at all, that is a recognition that if people are not drawn by the Spirit of God, they will eventually prove to be more problematic than blessed. They will be self-deceived, and there's no deception like religious deception. That's the worst kind possible. To make people think that they're Christians, apart from a real work of God's Spirit in their hearts, to make people think that they're okay, that they're Christians, even though there's no indication that they've been regenerated, is the worst disservice you can do people. And when you make church so worldly that unconverted people can be attracted to it without any work of God's Spirit in their hearts, and they think because they are attracted to it, because they have come to church, because they are sitting in church, because they are participating in programs of the church, that they therefore must be Christians, you have done them a terrible disservice. If they're not attracted to truth, it is better that they not come at all. It's better for them, as well as better for the church. And so Paul says, I have some doubts about you. He says, I don't know what to make of you. I don't know what to do with you. I'm not sure whether you Galatian Christians, Galatian church members, are genuine believers or not. I don't know how to make you see your present danger. I have doubts about you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, my voice. In other words, if I'm able to come and be with you, my tone depends upon your condition. My tone depends upon your response to truth. I don't make my tone, the tone of my voice, my demeanor, I don't make it appealing regardless. I figure out what the situation requires, and that's what I do. To some people, I may sound too harsh, but if that's what the situation requires, so be it. If you Galatians will change your attitude toward the gospel and toward me, then I, Paul, will soften my tone. But if you don't, then if you continue to resist the truth, then I'm going to come in sharpness. I'm going to come with rebuke. You see, Paul's tone of voice, his demeanor, his attitude, his approach was not crafted to serve his interests, but their needs, as Paul understood them to be, not as the Galatians understood them. Paul wasn't taking a survey to find out what the Galatians thought their needs were, and then he catered his ministry to their felt needs. No, Paul, the mature apostle, assessed what he thought their needs were, and then he crafted his approach accordingly. If Paul were selfish, he would tell them what they wanted to hear. But he's a true under-shepherd. He will tell them what they need to hear and leave the results with God. These are the marks of a true godly under-shepherd. May God raise up thousands of them in our nation today. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.